true pain and suffering he brought to them all. Away ran the children to hide in their beds, for fear that the devil would chop off their heads.
This week on Radio Free Cybertron's Halloween edition. News from Cybertron with our haunted stand-in anchor, Crystal. One last person is given credit for the freakish trivia contest 2 weeks ago. The trollish Mop Boy and the bewitching Roe Tersey have a devilish debate on one of the Transformers' darkest and mysterious characters. And the most horrorful of all, Rattrap 007 returns to give us nightmares about Cohadra from the fiendish Beast Wars Neo. And now, here's Crystal with the spooky news from Cybertron.
Greetings, Transfans. This is Crystal, your Cybertron news anchor. This week is Halloween. Cybertronians have just been introduced to this new human holiday, in which participants dress up in outfits and costumes to look scary and evil. So everyone dressed up as Autobot Wheelie. There was also a big Halloween party to celebrate this new ritual. Autobots and Decepticons both showed up in costumes such as Straxorian Wolf Goats, Malagorian Cattle Herders, and Tyrofiel Brain Suckers. Wheelie cut off his head and dressed as the Headless Horseman. Unicron came as the Headless Horseman's head. Later that night, all Cybertronians went out trick-or-treating. When they got home, they realized that their inner candy containers were empty and had never been filled. It was eventually realized that everyone on the planet had gone trick-or-treating, and that there was no one that would be at their homes to pass out candy. Optimus Prime then declared that, when he becomes president, he will make sure everyone gets Ender candy next year. Galvatron responded by saying he would place everyone under house arrest, so they could not leave, and they would be forced to give the Decepticon leader all of their Ender candy. This is Crystal for Radio Free Cybertron.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
And now, the latest addition to the week before last's trivia question. Lesbunit at AOL.com.
I just saw Prime. He told me Teletran 1's located a secret supply of rocket fuel. Where? Not too far from here, about 140 kilometers due west.
Then maybe we can go back to Cybertron?
Why, there's enough rocket fuel at that base to make 4 trips to Cybertron. Come on, let's tell Ironhide. Make him feel better.
But what about Ravage?
Don't worry about him. He's not going anywhere.
So, did Ravage speak in the cartoon, or did he not?
I think he did.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, but we have evidence to back this up. As did in More Than Meets the Eye.
Which we've already played, so...
Yeah. The scene where Ravage actually speaks in first person to Megatron.
But he doesn't actually speak first person.
Oh, but he does speak. He says... Okay, well, first of all, he's in the cage, and Hound is there talking to Mirage, and Hound says, you know, oh, there's, you know, Prime just found a rocket, you know, base, it's about so-and-so miles from here. And then Ravage hears that, and later on, he says to Megatron, not in Hound's voice, not like he recorded it, but in a unique voice, that the rocket base was located something, something due west of the Autobot base.
Yeah, but that wasn't his voice. If it was his voice, he wouldn't have needed to
How do you know what his voice is?
That's the only time. He doesn't have a voice.
That's the time he speaks. That's his voice. That's when you hear him speak.
No, because he does have... The only kind of voice he has is his grumbling and his growling.
Then how do you explain that? I mean, he's standing there, right there, speaking to Megatron, telling him where the rocket
is. But he's not actually speaking. He's just relaying information. Now the voice that's coming out necessarily isn't him. It doesn't have to be him. It could just be...
You're not making any sense.
He has recorded the information, and basically...
But he didn't record the information. It wasn't Hound's voice, and it wasn't even the same words.
But he was paraphrasing. He remembered the information, but he wasn't necessarily speaking. Like, you can have, like, a speech synthesizer. You can type in the exact words, but the computer isn't speaking, or, you know, what you're typing in, you're not speaking. But what you're typing in is coming out in voice.
I don't think so.
Yes.
See, Ravage isn't some kind of computer program. He's a sentient being, and he can speak, and that's evidence right there that he can.
Just because he's sentient doesn't mean he can speak.
But he did speak. They have it right there, him speaking in More Than Meets the Eye. We just played it.
But he wasn't actually speaking. You don't actually see his mouth moving. You just see him playing in Soundwave. He's not actually speaking.
I think he was. It wasn't Soundwave's voice.
No.
And it wasn't a recording, so what else could it possibly be?
A speech synthesizer.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
You have no evidence to back it up.
You have no evidence to
back it up. Yes, I do. Right there, his voice speaking to Megatron. And then afterwards, Megatron even says, "Excellent work, Soundwave." I mean, Ravage.
Oh, wait a minute.
He says, "Excellent work, Ravage."
But he's commending Ravage for getting the information, but he's not commending him for speaking.
Okay, why would they go the trouble to have this, like, voice synthesizer, which, you know, why? Why would they do that? Why not just have him speak? What's so wrong with Ravage speaking?
Well, there's nothing wrong with him speaking, but why would he speak, you know, at a part of the series and never speak ever again?
Because he doesn't like to talk, obviously. And, you know, and also he spoke in the comic book a lot, and he spoke in Beast Wars a lot, so why not speak in G1?
Well, that's different. Cartoon. Also, in the comic book, it was a completely different storyline, completely different setup. Everyone spoke in the comic. And in Beast Wars, he was rebuilt, so now he has more like a vocalizer.
I think that he could have spoken at any time he wanted. There's no reason why he wouldn't have been able to.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think he was built to speak. If he did, then why did he speak more in Beast Wars than he did in G1?
Because he had more to say, obviously. He was in charge of a situation. Whereas in G1, you know, he was just the spy that was sent to investigate and bring back information. He didn't really have much to say, really.
Well, if you think about it, he was just an assassin. Why does he need to say anything? Just go in there, kill everybody, and come out.
Exactly. That's why he didn't speak very much.
No, I'm talking about Beast Wars.
Oh.
When he went to the
Well, he had to explain the situation to the Maximals.
No, he doesn't. Just has to shoot him. Kill him.
Nah. He had to find out where the Predacon base was. He had to find out a lot of information.
Then during that time when he was getting ready to kill Megatron, why did he talk to Megatron? Why didn't he just kill him?
Well, Megatron brought out the golden disc and the...
But he
the
didn't.
Message left by G1 Megatron, and that convinced Ravage,
but
who was a Decepticon by heart.
But he didn't bring it out until Ravage started talking to him first. Remember that. They had a conversation. We're getting off track now.
The point of it is, did Ravage, G1 Ravage, speak? Could he speak? Did he have the capability to talk? And I think he did. This is Ro Tersey.
And your friendly neighborhood Mop Boy saying...
Hello everyone, this is RatTrap007. I decided not to do trivia anymore, which Brian's picking up, and doing the old classic version. So now I'm reviewing Poise. Mainly I'll be doing the Beast War 2, Beast War Neo, and Car Robot lines. So the Japanese figures. This week I'm going to be reviewing Cohadra. He is the Cobra Transformer of the Beast War Neo line. Now I really love this figure. The snake mode is very cool. It's about a foot long and about 4 inches high. He's got a good snake build on him. The Cobra hood is very fat. F-A-T, not P-H-A-T. And it gives a nice good bulk to it. Transformation is easy. Not too hard. You take the left arm, which goes, has the gun, which attaches to the arm on the back side of it, which doubles as a squirt gun for a snake spitting venom gimmick on in the beast mode. Then you stick the head up through the hood, and you take his whole torso of the snake, you take the sides of the hood, and you extend those to become the legs, and you turn the whole thing 180 degrees, then the tail becomes the right arm, and bring his left arm down. Then you bring the hood down over the head and attach the snake head to a little peg on his chest. He's about, 6-7 inches tall. Fairly good articulation, but I forget what I said the first time I tried recording this. Very articulate tail. Good articulation. The only problem I really have with it is he doesn't really have a traditional hand. But that's not very much of a problem at all. So I give him probably a 9.5. Now if you can get him with Saberback in the Versus pack for about 20-25 bucks, that's well worth it. I say he alone is worth about 20. I paid 18 for my Saberback versus Cohadra pack on eBay. And I'm very happy. I would probably pay that much for Cohadra alone. Now, I mentioned earlier that we're reviewing the Japanese toys. I've gotten some in the past 5 days from several different places. And now I'm going to have you all decide what do I review next week. Do you want me to review Break, the Emperor Penguin from the Beast War Neo, Dead End, the Omnimite from Beast War Neo, Wolfgang, or Howlinger in Japan, Beast War 2 Galvatron, he's the big pinkish purple dragon, or do you want me to review Bazooka or God Magnus? Let me know. You can write to me at rmichael424@aol.com. That's RMICHEL 424@aol.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and let me know what you want me to review next week. Till then, this is Rattrap 007 signing off.
Thank you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Now don't close your eyes and don't try. to socialize.